Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Prophetess Michelle. Thank all of those of you that have shared. Now listen, tonight I'm excited. I've been in the presence of the Lord. I've been praying, and I've just been laboring before the Lord today, just dwelling in his presence, just living in his presence, resting in his presence, and it has truly been a blessing. There is no God like our God. Hear me, there is no God like our God. There is no God that loves us the way our God loves us. There is no God that covers us the way our God protects us. Why? Because he is the God of all gods. He is the creator. He is the great one. And we give God all the glory and God all the honor. Well, tonight we're going to be continuing our teaching as we've been teaching on prayer. On Tuesday night we talked to you about carrying a prayer burden. Galatians chapter 6, verse 25 says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law. Galatians 6 and 25 says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law. But it also says, everyone shall bear what his own burden. And so we're talking about carrying a prayer burden. Well, then, the question may be asked, then what is a prayer burden? Well, a prayer burden begins with an inner impression that you feel a need to pray for a known or a unknown reason or unknown need. And yet, it is a gracious work of the Holy Spirit, what? Applying spiritual pressure upon our hearts. It is God's way to call us into intercession at a time when a prayer is needed by God, who has ordained us to work and to work through us through intercession for others. And so, we want to talk to you tonight a little and go a little bit further as we're going to be discussing as we're going further into this teaching here. We're going to talk to you tonight from the subject of here ma na 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 mo shiki ba na 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 ma rabasa, from a little bit of a different kind of subject, and it's simply how to carry a prayer burden. How to carry a prayer burden. How to carry this thing that God puts in you, this burden. It's almost like a woman being pregnant, and she must learn how to carry the burden and how to carry that baby. Why? Because some of the things that she once did, she's not able to do it anymore. And sometimes when a woman gets pregnant, the doctors will also say to her, don't stretch your arm up too high. Don't reach too high up. Try to get a little bit of a step ladder or something else so that you can reach up. Why? Because as you're stretching up, you're pulling certain parts. It can literally begin to affect the womb. And there are some times when a woman gets pregnant, the doctor will even tell her, don't walk upstairs a regular way. Try to walk upstairs backwards by holding onto a rail. Why? Because it's that pressure, it's that stepping up that can begin to affect the whole womb, and sometimes things begin to happen to the lining of the womb and the lining of the cervix. And then sometimes the doctor has to go ahead, and he has to stitch up certain parts of the cervix so that the amniotic fluid, so there is no leakage in the fluid, and so that the baby don't somehow miscarry or slip out of the womb by accident. And so there are certain things that one needs to begin to do as we are preparing ourselves to become prophetic. Oh, Hanana Moshanda. And what you really are, hear ye the word of the Lord, what you really are, you are a prophetic midwife. That's it. That's it. That's it, Holy Ghost. God is calling many of you to be prophetic midwives so that you can help birth and carry others in ministry, so that you can help pray and carry others in their life and in their ministry and pray for them to covering. Sometimes God causes you to be a prophetic midwife for your city. He causes you to be a prophetic midwife for your nation, a prophetic midwife for your neighborhood, for your family, for your generations and those that are connected to you. He will raise you up to be a prophetic midwife. Why? Because God has a special calling and God has something for you to do. Yeah, Ramananamasia. And then so we are talking about how to carry a burden. And yet one must know how to prepare themselves spiritually. And yet, this is all of our jobs. Why? Because Christ is the ultimate intercessor. He is the ultimate mediator. Why? Because he's always mediating on our behalf. He's always praying on our behalf. He carried us in himself when he was bearing the stripes. When he was whipped 39 times, he was carrying us. He was carrying us deep within himself. And the question may be then, why did Christ get 39 stripes? Why? Because he was covering every book in the Old Testament. And we know why. Because as he was taking the stripes, he was fulfilling the law. And so God causes us to be prophetic midwives where we are carrying the burdens for others. And so tonight, we're going to take a little bit further look at that tonight, and I hope that many of you don't have to go to bed early tonight, because I feel like talking, I feel like teaching tonight to you. And yet, God is calling us for a particular thing. Why? Because when you're asking for yourself something from God, it is called a petition. Hear me. When you're asking God for yourself for something, it's called a petition. But when you are doing something or praying or asking for something on the behalf of Hanamoshanda, it is called intercession. And so we want to understand some things tonight here, because God has called all of us to be prayer burden carriers. Dietrich said, intercessory prayer is the purifying bath into which the individual and the fellowship must enter every day. You see, when we move from petition to intercession, we are shifting our center of gravity from our own needs to the needs and the concerns of others. Intercessory prayer, what is selfless prayer? It is selfless prayer. Even self-giving prayer. And the ongoing work of the kingdom of God, nothing is more important than intercessory prayer, where we are now carrying the burdens of others before the Lord. And so intercessory prayer is a priestly ministry. Hear me, saints. It is a priestly ministry. I pray that God will so fill your heart with a passion that you will carry others in your time of prayer, that you will move into intercessory prayer and carry a prayer burden to the throne of God for someone else. Jesus did it for you and I. While he was on the cross, he was carrying a prayer burden to the Father, that though we may not have been there in the natural, but we were in him. And so when he died, we all died. But when he got up out of the grave, we all got up in him. Why? Because he was carrying us in him. And so intercessory prayer is a priestly ministry. And one of the most challenging teachings in the New Testament is the universal priesthood of all Christians. As priests appointed and anointed by God, hear me, we have the honor of going before the Most High on behalf of others, and this is not optional. It is a sacred obligation. And a precious privilege of all who take up the yoke of Christ. And can I tell you tonight, the deeper we go down into the valley of decisions, hear me, the deeper we go down into the valley of decision, the higher we must rise in the mount of prayer. And we must hold up the hands of those whose chief concern is to prevail with God. The writer to the Hebrew declares Jesus as an eternal priest after the order of Melchizedek, who always lives to make intercession. Who always lives to make intercession according to Hebrews 7 and 25. Something happens when saints or individuals come together and carry a burden. It was the 120 that went into the upper room. They were carrying a prayer burden. Why? Because the command was to get to the upper room so that the Holy Ghost may show up. So to pray in the name of Jesus means what? That we pray in the awareness that our prayers have no worthiness apart from his atoning sacrifice and his redemptive mediation. It means to appeal to the blood of Christ as the source of power for the life of prayer. It means to acknowledge our complete helplessness apart from His mediation and intercession. To pray in the name means that we recognize that our prayers cannot penetrate the tribunal of God unless they are presented to the Father by the Son, our one Savior and Redeemer. And so as we're interceding and we're praying for others, we are doing it in His name. We are doing it in His strength, in His nature. So then the question is, how do we pray in the name of Jesus? Jesus himself said to us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it shall be done, in John 15:7. So to abide in me is the all-inclusive condition for effective intercession. It is a key for prayer in the name of Jesus. So what are we doing? We learn to become the branch. We learn to become the branch which receives its life from the vine. So he says, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me, according to John 15:4. So nothing is more important to a life of prayer than learning how to become a branch. What happens? We become accustomed to His face. So when I stay in His presence, when I learn how to intercede in His presence, when I know how to commune with the Father, and when I know how to intercede and carry the burdens of others, guess what? We become more accustomed to His face. We become more like Him. Because though Christ is not here in the natural, He is still at the throne interceding for us. And you got to get this tonight, saints. You got to get this here tonight. If I can get you to begin to learn to be a burden carrier, I tell you, you'll see so many miracles in your life. Lack will disappear. Sickness will disappear. Why? Because you're praying for others. Christ was never selfish. Whatever He did it for you and I. And at that one moment, He said, I don't know if I want to go down this path. He went and He prayed 3 times till He sweat like there was blood coming, roaring down His body. And then finally, He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, but what a great sacrifice. Today He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so if we can learn, saints, to begin to carry the burdens of others, there's so much more that God can do for us. There are so many things that He'll do for us. He'll bless you financially. He'll cover you. He'll give you things that you never thought that you never had before that you could never get. He'll move miracles in your life. He'll turn your whole life around. But I got you to get this. I need you to get this tonight before we can go any further. See, when we begin praying for others, we soon discover that it is easy to sometimes become discouraged at the results, which can sometimes seem frustrating and slow and uneven. This is because we are entering into the strange mix of divine influence and human autonomy. See, God never compels, so the divine influences always allows a way of escape. And so when the time is right, up springs new life. Why? Because we're moving into God's timing. So then, as we're talking about carrying a prayer burden, and yet how do we carry a prayer burden? Supplication. Supplication means to ask with earnestness, with intensity, with perseverance. It is a declaration that we are deadly serious about this praying business. And we must repeat the same supplications not twice or 3 times only, but as often as we have a need, 100 and 1,000 times. We must never be weary in waiting for God's help. We must never be weary. And then so the great question is tonight, then how do we carry a prayer burden? And then what do we need to do to make ourselves available to Father God so that we can learn to pray and carry the burdens of others? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. How do we learn to become and join God's SOS prayer network? How do we learn to do this? How do we learn to intercede on the behalf of others? How do we begin to recognize God's prayer assignment? Well, then how do I know that it's God, that God has put something in me, and how do I know when the Spirit is speaking to me to pray or intercede for someone? Number one, God may impress someone on your mind so indelibly. And this may happen at your prayer time or at some other time during the day. If you have told God of your willingness and a person keeps coming to your mind, that person probably needs your prayer. And this may happen only occasionally, but the more closely you walk with God and become attuned to his voice, the more frequently God will use you in this way. So how do I recognize that God has placed something in me to pray for someone or to pray for something? God will impress you so indelibly in your mind. And then number two, you may feel a special, an apprehension of danger or of some kind of a need concerning someone. And what you ought to do, you ought to go at once to the Lord. If at all possible, pause in the midst of whatever that you're doing and ask and pray. And ask and say, God, that God may bring some person or situation to your mind. If not, pray for God's help and mercy for whatever the need may be if God don't tell you what it is. Just pray that God's will be done and that God will cover them and whatever it may be. I remember one time God called me to prayer on one occasion when something was going on with my father. And he was in danger. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I began to go into prayer. I had no idea of the danger, but I said, God, let your will be done. Cover them, keep them, protect them, cover them, keep them, and protect them. And God did so. And so this is how we learn to recognize God's prayer assignment that sometimes he gives us. And then number three, God may give you a sense of urgency for a need you know well. What are you saying? You may have prayed repeatedly for a particular need, but now you are impressed that God must answer prayer without further delay. And yet the prayer burden may be for a physical healing, the salvation of an unsaved person, the restoration of unity to a group or a divided people, or the revival in a particular place. God may keep a general burden on your heart for days and then at some point guide you to set apart a special time for prolonged, urgent prayer. And then there are other times that God may progressively deepen some prayer burden until it becomes your permanent assignment. Sometimes God will have you, he'll never release you from a prayer burden. Why? Because he wants you to be the one to continue to keep praying for that thing. And so God needs permanent intercessor watchmen for churches. He needs permanent intercessors for missions and for cities and for nations and for ministries. Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7 says, I have posted watchmen on your walls. O Jerusalem, they will never be silent day or night. Some of you, God will never remove you from being a watchman and praying for something, from being a watchman by carrying a prayer burden for someone. So he says here, I have posted watchmen on your walls. O Jerusalem, they will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. And give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and make her the praise of the earth. So it's saying here, those you that are called into permanent prayer carrying, you are not supposed to give God rest. It says, give him no rest. till he establishes the thing that you're asking God for. Give God no rest until you get your breakthrough. Give God no rest because he has assigned you to be a watchman. Give God no rest until you see a breakthrough and a change. Give God no rest until you see the salvation of loved ones. Give God no rest until you see the turnaround in your home, the growth in your church, the growth in your ministry. Give God no rest. Hey, hallelujah. So God announces that he has posted prayer watchmen. Undoubtedly, Isaiah himself was one of these, for he says in verse 1, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Beloved, you too can be one of God's prayer watchmen. And yet every full-time Christian worker needs a prayer team standing with him, strengthening him. Every pastor needs a prayer watchman. Those that are praying and watching and standing in the gap and interceding and praying and fighting off the forces of evil. You need a prayer watchman for your family. Today, will you make a choice to be the prayer watchman? Will you make the decision to be the burden prayer carrier in your household? That you will fight off every demonic spirit. That you will fight off everything that was tense, that will try to come up against you and your household. And so every Christian needs a prayer team standing with him, strengthening him, and covering him with intercession. Every Christian ministry needs a burden-bearing team of prayer warriors. And yet the effectiveness of any such ministry will depend upon the godliness of the team. I'm going to talk about this because if your life ain't in order and if there's stuff in you, it can start working against you. And all that you're trying to stop for others will come in your life and in your household and in you because you ain't living right and you ain't doing right. You ain't thinking right and you ain't acting right. But you have to live a life of holiness and godliness. So the effectiveness of any team or the effectiveness of your prayer carrying the prayer burden will depend upon the godliness that you have and the power of prayer that is marshaled behind it. God will bless any person or ministry as prayer support is deliberately enlisted and the prayer partners keep carefully informed and guided in prayer. Oh, saints, blessed, 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 blessed is the person or ministry that has not only enlisted the aid of prayer helpers, but has intercessor watchmen who can carry a continual burden for ministry. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So then, how do we make our prayer burden effectual? How do we make our prayer burden effectual? How do we do that? Number one, give as immediate attention as possible to the burden. This is how we make it effectual. Give as immediate attention as possible to the burden. Certain prayer burdens are called, as we stated, SOS calls for your help. If at all possible, interrupt what you are doing and pray at once for the need God places upon you. What are you saying? Give it your priority. Give the prayer burden a priority over all else. Put aside what you're doing and give yourself entirely to prayer for that need. And yet oftentimes it is of the utmost importance to do not delay. And if you cannot immediately set yourself apart for this prayer burden, keep praying for it every spare moment until you are free to cease all else and go to prayer. Then how do we make the prayer burden more effectual? Number two, be prepared to pray for hours. Be prepared to pray for hours. This is not always necessary, but so diligently in prayer that you intercede as long as it takes to receive the assurance of God's answer. Number three, how to make your prayer burden effectual. Pray until God lifts the burden or gives you assurance he has heard. Pray until God lifts the burden or gives you assurance that he has heard you. And then number four, God may lead you to enlist the prayer of several others. And yet many miracles has been brought to pass by the Holy Spirit in answer to a chain of prayer or the prayers of a specific a group. Number five, concentrate primarily on this one burden. Concentrate primarily on this one burden. If possible, get alone where you will not be interrupted in your intercession. And if the prayer burden continues through mealtime, add fasting. Come on now, add fasting to your prayer. Because when you add prayer and fasting together, it gives it more power, more power, more strength. Because you're denying your flesh. I won't feed you, but I'm going to feed of the Spirit, and I'm interceding for somebody else. Add fasting to it if need be. If you are praying for a period of hours, have a pen and paper with you to write down any steps to which God guides you to help answer your prayer or to recruit the intercession of others. Now, in doing all of this, I'm giving you some steps and some guidelines here because God's going to impress many of you with things to do. So you also want with this here, as you want to concentrate primarily on this one burden, you want to also be able to write down any thoughts that come to your mind that you do not want to lose or duties connected with your normal life that you do not want to forget. You see, prolonged prayer times often release our mind to very creative thoughts. But we do not want to be diverted from the prayer burden God has given us. Why? Because you free your mind from other things. You may recollect important items, jot them down so that you can immediately get back to your primarily intercession. Number six. I believe this is number six. Hold on in prayer until God lifts the burden. This is how you carry your prayer burden. So hold on in prayer until God lifts the burden. And so now, if you cannot give sufficient time to prayer at the time, pray as much as you can and then resume your prayer concerning it as soon as you can free yourself from it. You see, if it is a prayer burden that God has been increasingly placing upon you for a period of time, seize every opportunity to pray additionally for this burden, whether for a matter of minutes or, if possible, a period of hours. See, if the prayer burden continues for a period of days or longer, there will be intervening periods of hours or days when God will let you rest from your burden and carry out your other duties. Are y'all hearing me? But then again, at prayer times, free moments are when you set apart specific time for the purpose. And so what am I saying? That he will restore the burden to you and let you take what advanced prayer steps to amaze additional prayer in his presence until God gives the breakthrough and the prayer is answered. I believe we're at number seven. In prolonged prayer burden, God may lead you to enlist the prayer of others so that you can have others praying with you, so that you can have others there to help strengthen you as you are praying for others. Now, I want to take this just a little bit more further now. And I want to talk to you about how to be available for prayer burdens. And I want to give you some steps on how to be available for prayer burdens. And how does one make oneself available for prayer burdens? How does one make oneself available for prayer burdens? And we're going to take a look at that. Number one, be sure you are filled with the Spirit. It's crucial that you are filled with, that you know, and that you are sure that you are filled with the Spirit. You see, this assurance is foundational to everything in our spiritual life. While any Christian can be led and used by the Holy Spirit, it is so much more easier to hear his voice when he is in complete control of your life, because every born-again believer is indwelled with the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8 and 9. But not every Christian lives a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-controlled life. I want you to hear me now. Not every Christian, not every believer lives a Spirit-filled, a Spirit-controlled life. See, you cannot live such a life until you enter into it. And the believer must make a total surrender, a total consecration of himself and his all to God, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. So one must have a total consecration of himself and his all to God, and must ask for the Spirit's fullness. For the Spirit's fullness, according to Luke 11 and 13. So one must ask for the Spirit's fullness, trusting for his cleansing, his empowering, and his filling, according to Acts 15, verses 8 through 9. Yet any believer living today can be as Spirit-filled as the early apostles were if the same commitment is made. If the same commitment is made, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39. I wish I had a reader with me tonight, Prophet Sandra, Minister Rishon, or Elder Irma. I would like to be able to go and read these scriptures.
I'm here, Bishop.
Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. How you doing tonight? Are you getting anything tonight?
Oh, Bishop, you're on fire. I'm just over here. My hand is on fire from writing so much.
Yeah.
Going.
So I want you to get those scriptures for me, and I want us to read those scriptures tonight. I want you to get for me the first Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2.
Okay.
And then I need for you to get for me Luke 11 and 13. Luke 11 and 13. And let me know when you're there, and I'm going to try to pull up the other scriptures myself.
I'm at Romans, Bishop.
Begin reading for me, son.
Romans 12 and 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Good. And so we see here, this requires a total consecration of oneself and his all to God. And then one must ask for the Spirit's fullness. Let's go to Luke 11 and 13.
And it reads, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Good. And so let's head over now, son, to Acts chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, because we're trusting God for his cleansing, his empowering, and his filling. Acts 15, 8 through 9.
And it reads, and God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now let's head over to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, because this, again, is going to require that we are filled with the Spirit, that we are filled with the Spirit, that God has complete control over our life, and that we are indwelled with and by the Holy Spirit. But we want to make sure that we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, and that we are Spirit-led, and that we have made a total surrender to God. Let's go to Acts 2, verses 38 and 39.
Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Good. So one must live a life of repentance. One must take up their cross daily. One must live a life of holiness and pureness. Your life must be a life of godliness. Because if it is not, you open up yourself to other spiritual attacks, because the thing that you're trying to carry for others will now become your burden spiritually, and it will affect your life because there's sin in your life. It's like trying to go into battle just having a sword but missing everything else. It's like being fully armored but stepping on a mine and blowing yourself to pieces. So you want to make sure that your life is in order before you start trying to take on this spiritual work, because this is sacred work. This is not for babes. This is for prayer warriors, those that are planted in the Lord, those that know how to stay connected to the branch, stay connected to the vine. And yet any believer living today can be and can live a Spirit-filled life as the early apostles did. And yet if the same commitment that they had, we can do the same thing too. And so this is not a matter of special manifestations of the Spirit. Well, it is a matter of surrendering your will. Surrendering your will to God. So then the question again is, then how do we make ourselves available to be and to carry a prayer burden, to be a prophetic midwife, because that's what you're doing. Number two, develop a deep prayer life. Develop a deep prayer life. The more you experience the life of prayer, the more God is able to use you at special times of need. God is constantly needing real prayer warriors, and you learn to pray by praying. Hear me. You learn to pray by praying. Though book knowledge about prayer is beautiful, you gain confidence and strength in your prayer only as you pray. So put it into practice. Put into practice the principles of prayer, and the Spirit will give you, and the Spirit will increase you with new liberty. The Spirit will give you increasing liberty and boldness and intercession, as well as increased opportunities. Then number three, on how to make ourselves available to carry prayer burdens, to be a prophetic midwife. Develop a conversational relationship with the Lord. See, if you don't talk to God, then how would you know his voice?
Come on.
Do you talk to him? Are you disciplined? Do you have daily conversations with him? Or are you the one doing only the talking? Imagine having a friend and you're doing all the talking but never allowing them to speak. At some point, they may just leave you. So you want to develop a conversational relationship with the Lord. Repeatedly tell the Lord how you love and how you adore him. Punctuate your day with praise. Share your joy with him. And yet in the quiet of your soul, thank him for each blessing of the day, sunshine and the beauty. And so you're communicating with him. Ask God to bless people you notice, people that you pass, people that you meet. And as you do your work, walk along the way or drive your car, whisper to the Lord in your heart without others knowing anything about your fervent communication with your wonderful Lord. Live in his presence. What I'm telling you, live in his presence. Well, then number four, I'm going to take a look at that. How to become available to be a prayer burden carrier. Keep a listening ear. Develop a listening ear. That's what I'm telling you. Develop. Keep a listening ear. See, you can learn to develop a spiritual alertness and availability to God to be especially and specifically what open what to his guidance. And I'm working on a teaching simply titled The Secret of Listening. See if you and I truly hunger for God to use us, and in particular to use our prayer life, we can learn to sense what his guiding touch or his voice if we can learn how eager God is to guide us in all the daily aspects of our living. And then we will discover that again and again God will guide us in our praying. But you've got to be open. The more our spirits are open, the more we can hear him. And as you and I thus become alert to God, we will be able to hear and to sense the leading and the guiding and the unctioning of the Spirit when he's telling you certain things. And so then how do we develop this listening ear? And yet it is our privilege as a child of God to be led by the Holy Spirit. To be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the question is, have you developed the habit of listening to God? That's the question. And no Christian ever masters this lesson, but God can help you develop a listening ear. May God, and so I want to share just a few suggestions with you on developing this listening ear. Just a few suggestions that I believe that will help you because it has helped me, so that you can have and obtain this and keep this listening ear. Number one in developing a listening ear, you want to make sure that you maintain your commitment to the Lord each day and live in the Spirit of fullness. Number two, of how to develop a listening ear. Now, I'm not finished with these other steps because I got 11 I got to share with you, but I'm giving you steps on how to develop a listening ear. So number one of this number four is, we're just going to say A, you want to make sure that you maintain your commitment to the Lord each day and live in the Spirit of fullness. And then B is, ask God to teach you how to listen to him. Ask Father God to teach you how to listen to him. Prayer is not true communion if you do all the talking. So then the third part of this, C, as you begin each day, ask God to speak to you whenever he desires throughout the day. Ask him to help you to recognize his voice. This is how you start developing a listening ear. And then D, a part, step number four is read your Bible. Read your Bible. See, some people, I read my Bible. I read my Bible today, but I don't pray as much. Well, I prayed only one time. No, you got to pray every day. You got to be in your Word every day. You can't read your Bible one day and think it's going to cover you for the rest of the week. No, you got to be in it every day. I'm building that relationship, learning. See, because if you want to learn about God, you get in His Word. So read your Bible, expecting God to speak to you and bless his word to your heart. So even in his word, he'll speak to you. Read it for personal blessings and his suggestions as to how you can please him more and how you can do his will more fully. E, or step, part four of step number four, rather, in developing a listening ear, ask God to guide and help in even small things. Anything that is important to you is important to him. Ask him to help you to be a blessing to others as you meet them, speak to them on the phone, or even write letters. Ask God to show you little things to do for him and others. You can ask him to guide you in your purchases, in your work. You can ask him to guide you in your attitudes, in your thinking. You can ask him to guide you in your contacts, your work, as well as your prayer life. Just two more I got to give you. The next step of developing a listening ear, relax and trust him to guide you constantly. Minister Sean, go to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11.
Yes, please.
So relax and trust him to guide you constantly. Don't be fearful, afraid that you will miss God's will. Why? Because you are his child. So rest in his faithfulness. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't expect to hear a voice or a sign from heaven. God's guidance is such a normal part of his dealings with us that he is often at work when we are most unaware. Go ahead, man of God, read for me.
And Bishop, what was that, Isaiah chapter 15?
58 and 11.
Oh, sorry, 58. Okay. And it reads, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not."
Good. So we see all these blessings connected to it, that he guides us. Our next step of developing a listening ear, observe how God coordinates providence for you. Do not fret if he permits delays or blocks your plans. His way is best, saints. He wants to work all things together for your good and his glory. He always knows what is highest and is best. Don't struggle against God's plan, God's providence. Just relax in his loving care for you. God can open up a way where there is none before, but you will never have to force an open door. You will never have to try to force a door open. Let God do it for you. This is how you start developing a listening ear. This is how we develop a listening ear. Thank you, Jesus. Step number five on how to be available for a prayer burden. Ask God to keep you alert each day. Each morning, ask God to specifically bring to your attention any person or situation for which you should pray. Keep prayer lists. Keep prayer lists for God may impress you to add others with special needs. The list will serve also what as a chronicle of answered prayer. Daily be sensitive to any new prayer assignment God may appoint out to you. And as you go through your day, pray immediately for anyone or anything God brings to your mind. Number six of how to become available to be a prayer burden carrier. Be an intercessor. Number six, accept responsibility for any special prayer burden God gives you. Accept responsibility for it. Assure the Lord each day what? So you want to ensure the Lord each day that you can be trusted. You want to ensure the Lord each day that you will try to be faithful to bear any prayer burden that he gives you. Treat it as a special trust from the Lord. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Rabba ninanana masia. Is this making any sense, Minister Rishon, or any other of the prophets?
Powerful, Bishop, powerful.
Then number seven is, how do we make ourselves to be available? Maintain a disciplined prayer life. Maintain a disciplined prayer life. It is usually to those who are already faithful in intercession that God gives an intercessory prayer burden or a sudden, urgent, an SOS. I need you to pray for this person. I need you to do this here. I need you to stop what you're doing, and I need you to go in your word. I need you to call so-and-so. I need you to pray right now. I need you to do this right now. And so you have to have a disciplined prayer life. So in some cases, God gives such prayer burdens what to a very new Christian. Why? Because he knows that person is his or her new love, and a zeal is what is instantly obedient, because God wants to show this new believer what he can do through prayer, or because this person what has a relationship with the person for whom prayer is needed. See, there's a different kind of a zeal. Today, have you lost your zeal? Have you lost your passion for him? Is he everything to you today? Have you become stale? Has the enemy sifted you today? See, in old days, they would take the salt that was no longer useful, and they would throw it on the floor of the temple, because the salt had lost its savor. There was no strength in it. And because there was no strength in the salt, they would throw it on the floor so that people can walk on it. And that's what happens as believers when we lose our savor, when we lose our strength. Because salt is a preserver, but salt is also something that also creates a thirst. When people see you, is there a thirst in them to want more?
Come on.
When people see you, are you creating a thirst for salvation or repentance in their life? That's the question today. Have you lost your strength today? Are people so easily able to say anything, do anything, act any kind of a way around you? Though they know that you are a believer, they still curse in front of you. You have no strength. And you cannot be a witness of the kingdom of God, because they don't respect the God in you. See, every time you do wrong, you weaken your spiritual authority. Every time you sin and you do something that is outside of the will of God, you weaken your witness to others. And you make a mockery of your God. And you cannot witness Jesus to them because your life ain't right. Maintain a disciplined prayer life for him. So the question is today, hear me, saints, are you creating a thirst? See, because when you see when you put salt in your mouth, you want more water. So when people see you, you should be, their mouth should be slivering. Their mouth should be so dried up so that they can drink of the Lord, so that they can drink of the wellspring of God, so that they can drink of his holiness, so they can drink of the Lord. Give me drink, because they become like the man in hell that he was starving and dying for a glass of water. Give me some water, I'm dying of thirst.
Come on.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. So God makes you to be the salt for them, because they're in hell, so that they can drink of the water of the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So then, saints, sometimes God will use new babes in Christ before he uses those that are familiar, those that are settlers, those that have lost their zeal and their passion. You have no drive. And when a man has no drive, it's because there's a lack of testosterone. And when there's a lack of testosterone, a man's belly begins to grow. He gets a big belly. He's pregnant with fat. And so fat develops around the stomach. And then once he has no drive, he becomes impotent. Are you an impotent saint today? That's the question today, believers. That's the question today. And when a woman loses estrogen, she starts growing hair up under her chin and around her nose. Why? Because she has more testosterone than estrogen. And when a man loses the testosterone, he gets more estrogen. Stomach grows, his chest grows too. The hips spread out. There's a reason why a woman, when she gets pregnant, her body starts storing fat. Legs get thicker, hips get thicker, breast growth more. Why? Because something is, because the body is preparing itself for the baby to show up. It's the same thing when God begins to make you a prayer warrior. When he begins to make you, saying, you know what, now I'm going to cause you to be a prayer, a burden carrier. Because he has to strengthen a certain part of you for the blows. So then, here, kamana mashanda. See, so the Lord, so because this new believer has more zeal, because the person has a relationship with the person with whom prayer is needed, and yet it's usually easier for God to alert us for prayer burdens for someone who already know or for whom we are already praying for. Kima na 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 masia. Number 7, live in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Prayer burdens are given to you, what? By the Holy Spirit. Prayer burdens are given to you by the Holy Spirit. The more fully your life is controlled by the Spirit, the more fully the Spirit can guide you and work through you. He is the Spirit of intercession, so he is eager to help you intercede. And unless you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, unless you have been filled with the Spirit, he does not fully control you and is not able to use you completely. Be sure you have been filled with the Spirit. Be sure you are living, hear me, be sure that you are living in the fullness of the Spirit and that you are praying in the Spirit. What number I'm at, Minister Rashawn?
I got number 9 here, Bishop.
All right, so next, number 9. You're right on time there, son. Number 9. Number 9, practice constant obedience. Practice constant obedience. Whenever God gives you a prayer assignment, be immediately and regularly faithful to it. Let nothing in your life grieve the gentle Holy Spirit. Be eager to walk in all the light God gives you. Let no tension develop between you and any other person. If it does, as much as lies in your power, humbly take the initiative to try to remove the tension. Because he may call you to intercede and carry a burden for someone that just may have said something about you, spoke against you, spread a rumor, done something so evil and wicked to you, and then God says, now I want you to intercede for them.
Come on.
Yeah, but they didn't lie on me. And pick up a prayer burden for them. Pray for their life. Carry that God will cover them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Yeah, but that's the same person that cheated with my husband. Carry the prayer burden for them.
Come on.
But I'm about to kill him, but I need you to steady my hand like Moses prayed for others. I need you to hold back my judgment on them. Yeah, but they lied and they cheated on me and they slept with my mate. I pray for them. Can you do that? Can you intercede for them and put all your emotions to the side? Oh, but they hurt me so bad. They cut me. The words they said to me, just I know, get out of your flesh and get in God. Remove the tension. Put God's will, God's word, and prayer and constant priority in your life. Number 10, expose yourself to vision and need. We're almost there, saints. We're almost there. Expose yourself to vision and need. What? Read writings and periodicals, whatever, that will expose you to God's vision for your world and the hurting needs of people. You may be looking at the news and find out something is going on. He may, okay, I want you to pray for this person. I want you to pray for this here, the head of this country. I want you to carry this burden for them. Because the devil has a plan, but I need you to go and to hold it and stop it. I need you to intervene. Drugs is trying to come into the community. I need you to pray for your community because there's something that's trying to come by the enemy that can destroy the church. I need you to pick up a prayer burden and intercede and hold back the hands and stop the forces of evil. Yeah, but my boss just wrote me up. Pick up a prayer burden.
Come on. Hey!
So expose yourself to vision and need. You see, attentive services, attend services where you can be exposed to a need. Participate in activities where you see prayer needs firsthand. Visit the sick. Cultivate what the confidence for an unsaved person you seek to lead to the Lord. Write to a prisoner in your local jail. Come on, saints. There's so much that we can do for the body of Christ. Lead them to Christ. Write to a prisoner in your county jail. Visit and show your Christian love. Get involved by prayer and finances or personally in any other way possible, maybe in the jail ministry, feeding the homeless. We're going to be working on that shortly. We're going to be doing the food pantry in your inner city. Number 11, use your prayer list. Have a church prayer list. Remembering your pastor or pastors, your youth leader, your lay leaders, new members, or membership prospects. Ask God to guide you and which nations to put on your daily prayer list, and pray for one or more that especially needs the gospel. Make a list, a short list of unsaved people whom you long to see brought to Christ. Carry that burden. Keep a temporary list. So you want to have different lists. You want a short list. And then you want to keep a temporary list of needs that are changing. People in the hospital, fighting a health battle, or someone that may be out of work, or someone that may be discouraged. And then also special upcoming needs that you want to pray for. Use a short list of government leaders, including maybe our president or our vice president, or one or more political leaders, those that is in your community, the Supreme Court justices and your senators and representatives and governors and mayors. And yet, when you are interceding for God's cause and needs, such as these, it is easy for God to put a special burden on your heart when these urgently need prayer. Don't worry about when God is going to give you such a sudden prayer burden. Just be faithful. Hear me. Just be faithful in daily disciplined intercession. Pray lovingly for the needs you know of. Schedule regular and adequate time alone with God. Plan special alone with God. Special times alone with God. Feed on His Word. Feed on His Word each time in prayer. Rejoice in the Lord. Love Him and others. And as you live in close partnership with the Lord, hear me, He will become and He will begin to deepen what? The concern for the needs that He wants you to take special responsibility for. Then you will feel a special drawing to prayer for any person or situation. Be quick and obey it. And God will use you more and more in special intercession and burden bearing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to be teaching on another topic, and I feel like I don't know where I feel like I want to go. I may want to talk about this listening ear, because we didn't know how to hear God's voice and how to develop it. Either we may teach on that, or I may teach on wrestling for prayer answers, because we got to know how to wrestle with prayer answers. Some of us give up too soon. We give up too soon, Minister Rashawn.
Come
you'll
on,
become
Bishop.
Sad and disappointed and upset and feel like God didn't answer, but you haven't wrestled enough. When a woman is pregnant, there was pleasure in making the child. Well, I hope it was,
come
at
on.
Least.
Come on.
But when it's time to give birth, pain comes with it. Pain is now accompanied with the giving birth of the child, and whether you like it or not, that baby's going to inflict pain on you. Because the baby knows that if I don't get out of this prison that I'm locked up in, I can die and mama can die.
Mm.
And so that baby inflicts pain. But with that pain comes blood and water. And then sometimes feces come forth too. Why? Because the baby's pressing on. There's a whole lot of stuff that is happening on that birthing table. And it could be real messy. But out of mess, something beautiful comes forth. And all that pain that mama may have been in most cases you want to know, does he got or she got five fingers on each hand? Do they got five toes on each feet?
Mm.
Is my baby? I want to see my baby. I want to see my baby. I just want to see my baby. Is my baby all right? Is my baby all right? Because see, though mother was going through pain, all she wants to do now is hear the cry of her baby. Because the cry signifies life. The cry signifies that that my baby needs me, and my baby needs to be fed. My baby needs to be cared for. My baby is looking for love. As God prepares you to be a prophetic midwife, as God prepares you to be a prayer burden carrier, you will experience the joy as you carry the prayers and the concerns and the needs of others. I pray that God will so impregnate you and that he will fill you with this burden, that you will pray for others, that you will go into intercessory prayer and carry the prayers of those whom God has ordained for you to. I pray. And as you witness the birth of that which you have been travailing with in your spiritual womb, that you will witness unspeakable joy and that you will see the hand of God. As you pray for those that are unsaved, and that you're interceding for them. I don't care if it takes 3 months, it takes 5 years. As I shared about my former bishop, Bishop Samuels, shared on how she had five people on her prayer list to become saved. After 2 years, one person got saved. I think she said it was 2 years, one person got saved. She scratched them off. Another 5 years, the second person got saved. Another 15 years, now, this is 25 years later about the third person got saved, but every day their names was on her lips as she was praying for salvation for their souls. Not a day went by that she did not bring their name before the throne of God. She was persistent. She was consistent. She was determined. 35 years later, the fourth person got saved. 50 years later, the day after she died, at her funeral, the fifth person got saved. 50 years for five people. If it would have taken her 100 years, she'd have continued to pray for them and call for their name for salvation before the Lord. God does hear your prayers. I'm going to talk to you soon about praying and travailing in tears next, soon. I want to talk to you about that. But I want to talk to you tomorrow night on wrestling for prayer answers. That's going to be the next level of prayer as we're talking about these levels of intensifying prayer. Oh, saints, if we can get this here today, we would go to the next level. Here, what do you have to say, Minister Rashawn?
Bishop, my God, you know, let me tell you something, Bishop. This right here is just so powerful, and how it's working hand in hand with the 21 days and the prayer times that we're doing. Because, you know, Bishop, as you were teaching, Bishop, I'm just writing it down, and it's just so much stuff starting to come together. Because you mentioned something that was very powerful about when we're in prayer, how God was starting to begin to impress certain people or things. And Bishop, you know, I begin to do what you came to ladder and went to my short list, things that are going to be permanent and then the things that change. But you know what, Bishop, as you were teaching, God began to speak to me. And he said to my, He says, son, ask yourself the question about what Bishop is teaching, how to carry a prayer burden. And I says, how do you carry the prayer burden? And God, Bishop says, you cannot carry what you don't know how to release. In other words, what am I saying? That burdens are a blessing in disguise. Why? Because your burden births the blessing so that when you carry the burden, it produces your victory. And Bishop, you know what? Some people ask, why am I not blessed? Because they're not ready to carry the burden that will produce what they're seeking. Oh, nothing is free, Bishop. It's called sacrifice. Nothing is free. It's called sacrifice. And if you look at those first three letters, sac, anytime you see a sac, that means something has to be carried. And then you look at the next three letters, it's risk, R-I-F. So either you're going to risk me to start complaining, or you're going to be the last three letters, which is I-C-E, which is ice, and play it cool because you know what the burden is about to produce.
Yeah, Adana-na-ma-si-ya.
See, whenever you carry, you... Put it like this, Bishop. People of God, hear me. Whatever you carry, you should be ready to marry. And if you're not willing to marry what you're carrying, then ask yourself, why am I engaged to this thing?
Come on now. So whatever you carry, you must be willing to marry.
Yes.
So now that's what this is all about here now, because you got to be married to this thing.
Come on.
See, because God puts this in you. See, this is divine impartation. God puts that burden on you. But I love it. Keep going, son. This is amazing.
And, you know, Bishop, and then he begins to open it up, and he says, whatever you carry, you should be ready to marry. And if you're not willing to marry whatever you're carrying, then ask yourself, why am I engaged to this thing? And if what I'm carrying is not right, I heard God say, divorce it. Divorce it. And then he took me to Psalm 50, Bishop. 15 says, pray with me. When you are in trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. See, Bishop, when the people, see, don't honor the problem, honor the solution. Why? Because whenever or whatever it is that you honor, you fulfill. See, whatever you honor, you obligate yourself to. Whatever you honor, you move into agreement with. Hey, Bishop, you know what, Bishop? When I was at the house, I saw a book that you had up there, and I liked that guy, one of those books that I saw in the house, by Watchman Nee. And, Bishop, you know what? I went in that book, and I opened it up, and I wrote this thing down right out of that book, and there was a quote that Watchman Nee said, and he says, we should try our best to pour out all the burdens in our spirit by prayer until all of them have left us.
Come on.
Hear me. So, I ask, what are you carrying and why are you engaged to the hurt? Why are you engaged to these things that do not pertain to the preservation of God, meaning the action of preserving something? Hear me, what you preserve is what you deserve.
Come on. Come on, son.
So, people of God, ask yourself, see, Bishop, and you said something else powerful. When you went inside this burden-carrying thing, you said something powerful, Bishop, and because you talked about sin, how it was connected. And, Bishop, I heard God say, sometimes unconfessed sin is the cause of our burdens. And then you said, when this happens, we must repent. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Right, Bishop? Psalm 38, 4 through 6 says, my guilt overwhelmed me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and sink. Because of my foolish sins, I am bent over and racked with pain all day long. I walk around filled with grief. Let me tell you something. Burdens help keep you grounded. Burdens are there to check your humanity and help you build your divinity.
Yeah, Hananana-masia.
My God, Bishop, Bishop, I'm a decreased Bishop.
Yeah.
But I tell you, this was powerful tonight.
Kaya nana masia. Yeah, I love it. This is amazing, 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 amazing. Tomorrow night, it's going to be a doozy tomorrow night because we're going to talk about, and this is not a subject that many people, because this here, this wrestling in prayer, this is agonizing prayer.
Oh, wow.
Talk about it like that. And some call it the prayer of suffering.
Wow. Wow.
This,
wow.
This redemptive suffering?
Mm.
This prayer of agony.
See,
it was a prayer of agony would save the world.
Sir.
It was a prayer of agony would save the world. That was Jesus.
Yes.
It was a prayer of agony. So we're going to talk about tomorrow night on how to wrestle with this here. Because we've got to know how to wrestle with this here and where to go at me. And this is going to be something else. So wrestling with prayer and answers and dealing in that area there. And that's going to be part six of this teaching here. But I tell you, it's going to be an amazing thing. And so we're going to talk about that tomorrow and go into that. Because God is preparing us. God is preparing us. God is preparing everyone, all of us today here. Because those that is on this line today, God brought you here for a reason. And you're on this line for a reason, and there are some things that God is choosing to birth in the atmosphere out of many of us that is on this line today.
Jesus.
There are some ministries that God is going to use that is
going to
be birthed through us. Why? Because God is calling us to be prophetic midwives, prophetic intercessory midwives, and we're going to be called to give birth to some things. And so, and I love what Minister John said. And so, God gives you, and so God allows you to carry it, so you can marry it.
My God, yes.
Every one of y'all that is on this line, if you just start working with what God is sharing here, I'll tell you, he'll change the world. He'll change the world. Listen, y'all heard what the woman said about one man, what the Queen of England said. She says, I fear this man prayers more than I fear all the armies of Scotland.
Oh, wow.
One man prayer. She says, I fear his prayers more than all the armies of Scotland.
My God,
his prayers terrify me more than they. Do whatever he says, do it.
Oh, glory to God. My God, my God.
Hey,
hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Glory
that even
God.
Our government officials, you know what? I fear the prayers of those people. It don't seem like a whole lot of them, but there's a force behind them. It's like angels, like
God.
Heaven is backing them up.
My
it
God.
Looks like there's 10 of them. It looks like there's 5 of them. But wait a minute. I
God.
Know there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there's
Come
another
on.
One there, and he looks
on.
Like the Son of God. Now how did that have that
My
revelation?
God. My God. My God. My God, my God, my God. Oh, I see the victory. My God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I see the victory. My God. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. My God, Bishop, Lord have mercy.
Glory to your name, Father God. Glory.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Glory.
Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ooh, I see the victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
glory
you, Holy
be
Ghost.
To God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. My God, Bishop.
Thank you.
Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Thank
oh, God.
You.
Hallelujah.